This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Sports Radio 610 presents Live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
As we were talking briefly at the end of the last segment about things that annoy Sean, Sean has an entire Google Doc on his phone.
Yep.
So we didn't make it through it all, but a couple of you texted in, or at least one of you texted in, the things that annoy you these days. Yeah. This guy does not like – these are phrases that annoy you. You just won the internet.
Yeah, that's a bad
one.
He
says that makes his skin crawl.
Yep, yep. It's a good one.
I don't – the problem is sometimes somebody says that about one of my tweets, and I'm like, ha, that is a fine thing to say. That is a fine thing to say,
it's
sir.
It's fine to be hypocritical about it.
There's lots of things I don't
yeah,
like.
Yeah, that does you know, not annoy me.
I don't like the extra point, right. But when my team wins a game with an extra point, I'm all for the extra point.
Let me look at this list here. I don't see anywhere on my list of things that annoy me Sean being hypocritical.
Sean,
you're
doesn't
annoy me at all.
Sean, you're a handsome devil.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So text in the things that annoy you.
Things that annoy
the
you.
Trivial things that annoy you way more than they probably
if
should.
If I have to go through, if I have to go through my whole list, I will, just to give people brain food. We can do that a little bit later. Let's get to Nick Caserio here. You can text in. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. O-line, going to be a big topic for the Texans this offseason. It already is. They're at the combine. I believe the offensive linemen work out. I should check. I know today's defensive lineman, Kenneth Grant, the big one we've got circled yeah. there. Nick Caserio was asked yesterday in his national media session how Cole Popovich, who was formerly the assistant O-line coach, he's now the man in charge of the offensive line. He's the O-line coach now. How is his role changing?
Yeah, it's always case by case, I would say. In Cole's case, I mean, Cole's got a lot of experience. He's been in the league for a number of years. You know, the players, you know, had, again, you're not going based off of what players think, but they felt there were some positives. And I'd say some of the offensive coordinators that we talked about had referenced Cole as somebody that they would want to potentially consider, like, separate from us. So, all right, well, the guy's here. Okay, like, does this make sense? How does Nick Caley feel about it? We had a few other candidates that also had identified Cole as somebody. I think Cole was, you know, highly thought of in the league and an opportunity externally away from Houston last year. He decided to stay in Houston. So we'll see how it goes. You know, I'm sure there's some things that Cole is going to do, kind of put his spin on it. But once we kind of get started, we'll kind of have a better idea what that looks like.
The Nick Caley specifically, I think, is a guy that he mentioned it either another answer or maybe D'Amico did at some point. But when Nick Caley was interviewing, I think Cole Popovich's name definitely came up, and they had worked together before. So
yeah.
I feel better. I don't know. I think most people probably feel like, oh, Cole Popovich was the assistant offensive line coach on an offensive line that underperformed, and now he's got his buddy coming in, and it feels just too convenient. I tend to feel the opposite. I think Nick Caley has already demonstrated he's a guy who's going to be very careful and selective about which job he took.
Mm-hmm.
He turned down the Patriots. He turned down the Jets. He decided this was a good opportunity. And I don't think just loyalty to a buddy or something was going to lead him to just, you know, say, yeah, you got to keep Cole Popovich. I think he probably had a genuine good working relationship with him. And I'll tell this story again. Apologies to those of you that have heard it already, but if you think or wonder, okay, well, how come all these assistant coaches got to stay and Bobby Slowick is taking the fall or being blamed for everything? I've been on defenses where there were bad defensive coordinators. Two specific times in my career with two different coordinators I can think of where there was nothing a good assistant coach was going to do because the defensive coordinator was so far out of his element and out of his league. And there's only so much you can do as an assistant coach when you're trying to get your guys to follow rules that are constantly shifting or game plans that don't quite make sense, or the coordinator is asking guys to do things that are, like, depending on guys that are doing to do things that are physically impossible, like 50% of the time, it's really, really hard. So that's what I would hope for, is that it was even worse than it looked, or what you might have suspected with Bobby Slowick when it came to his actual competence as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, like it's that way in the NFL, it's that way in business. Like, the further up the food chain you make a bad hire, the trickle down effect is profound.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, and that's, and so I, yeah, like it.
Well, we were talking, this analogy came up when we were talking about it a couple months ago, is, you know, if you look at the military, they've got boatloads of officers, and, you know, like, there's no, you don't have to wait for a guy's contract to expire to bring a new officer in. You know, you can, so you see it all the time. A bad unit gets a new officer, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, those same guys who were in a bad unit before, it actually turns out they weren't that bad. They just had bad leadership. So in football, the problem is you can't hire, you can't go out and find another offensive coordinator in the middle of the season. But hopefully it's as simple as that, that if Nick Caley is just a better officer than Bobby Slowick, then maybe these guys will show up with their shirts tucked in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or in shape.
Yeah. I mean, I've got this image of Bobby Slowick as an officer, and his guys are showing up like 5 minutes late to whatever you call it in the morning when everybody reports
it.
You know me with my military lingo.
Right.
Just guys rolling out of bed, like when hitting the snooze button in the barracks.
Happens all the time.
Yelling at the bugler to shut the hell up.
The bugler.
Shut that bugler up.
Is that what they're
called? Too busy stealing the bugle instead of getting up on time.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you put half as much effort into being a soldier as you did into stealing that bugle.
Bugle, right.
You would be a great soldier.
It's called the bugle dynamic.
Yeah. That's always a big
Everybody
thing.
Knows that.
Any sort of nefarious thing. Like, if you put half as much effort into
being I think a about
good
that
person.
With criminals a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I think about that with there's a my father-in-law had this family that they rented to for a long time. It was this guy was working the system to an extreme degree because it was this,
were they renting like
he
a
was
house?
Renting a trailer.
Trailer,
you know?
Okay.
And they were there for like 20 years. They were really good tenants. They kept the place up and everything. But the father, he put so much time and energy into not working at all. Like, and one of his strategies, too, was, like, you know, having a bunch of kids. But, like, yeah, I always thought, like, this guy's actually pretty bright. And I feel like he puts in more hours to make the money he does than if he just had a normal job.
Yeah.
But I think he's just, like, bucking the system.
Yeah, there's a rush to that,
I guess. To be clear, everybody, I'm talking about the tenant, not my father-in-law.
Right.
My father-in-law is working 18-hour days.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course, yeah.
His kids, and now this guy's.
Those are you out to get Seth's father-in-law.
The crazy thing was that this guy, this tenant, his kids would work on my father-in-law's farm, and they were awesome.
Oh, really? The kids were?
Yeah, they ended
oh.
up like, it's a. They actually did something for themselves.
Okay.
Like, they became upstanding citizens with jobs and
the
everything.
Apple actually did fall very far.
Very
from the
far
tree.
From the tree.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But, well, they had the good influence in my father-in-law, Fred.
That helps.
My father-in-law would take in a lot of guys, kids that had, like, messed up home lives and everything.
That's cool.
And, like, they kind of, like, live with him, and they'd work on the farm. Like, it was almost like, what was the movie, the series we were watching? Was it the one with, oh, it was out in Montana. They were like
Yellowstone?
An outlaw. It was a Yellowstone. Yeah, Yellowstone. It was a lot like Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lot like Yellowstone.
John Dutton would take in a lot of...
Except not criminals.
A lot of borderline personalities.
A lot of, like, my brother-in-laws, their friends, like, they'd have friends that were, you know, had rough home lives or whatever, and the kids would come and basically live with my wife's family.
That is Yellowstone.
And, yeah, and Fred would, like, make them bale hay and everything, and they loved it because they had some structure in their life.
John Dutton. He's basically Kevin Costner.
He's a law-abiding John Dutton.
He's law-abiding. Right. Here was Nick Caserio on the need for – is there a need for new faces on the offensive line?
Yeah, there's never one particular thing. So I think the big thing is, can you get the players to do the right thing? Do they understand their assignment? Do they play the right with the right techniques? Do they play with the right fundamentals? Can they execute their assignment? They have an understanding of what's going on. So don't want to, like, oversimplify it. I mean, sometimes it's like we got to come up with, like, some magic formulas. So, I mean, where we are today could be different in a week from now. It could be different a few months from now. I mean, I don't know how it looks. So, I mean, just because a guy is here doesn't necessarily mean, well, that's what it's going to look like. I mean, you guys were here a couple of years ago, like, where we basically traded for three offensive linemen, signed another player, guys that weren't even here, weren't even talking about in training camp, were playing week 1 through 4. So, I mean, that's just how it goes. So you get prepared for anything. So you got to start with the foundation. You got to start somewhere with a group and then just kind of figure it out as you go.
Feels like a yes.
Yeah.
Feels like there will be new faces on the offensive line.
Well, D'Amico was asked the question on the coach's show on Texans Radio with John and Mark about bringing in new guys, or maybe this was in the scrum afterwards. Oh, it was in the scrum after the press conference, actually.
Oh, the local?
Where he just flat out said, yeah, look, we're always looking to bring in new guys, always, everywhere. And I think that's an easy and an accurate answer. You might feel great about your offensive line. You still want other guys that can come in and give them competition or be backups and everything else. But this year especially, I think there's very few parts of that offensive line where you feel like any of those guys have 100% earned their spot.
Yeah.
I do think the guys I'm most optimistic about seeing a better version of are Jarrett Patterson and Juice Scruggs. And I think we saw some good stuff out of Jarrett Patterson at the end of the year when they were leaning into some of the inside zone and some of the plays where in that Chiefs game, I was actually really pleasantly surprised by.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
How good the offensive line was moving the defensive line off the ball on that 81-yard touchdown drive in the third quarter,
yeah.
Especially. They were playing with some physicality. So we know they have it in them, and that's versus a good defense. It's just a matter of hopefully having an offensive coordinator that knows how to identify what guys are actually good at and getting it consistently.
Yeah, mine's Blake Fisher. Like, if the guys I'm most interested in, mostly because year one to year two in an NFL weight room,
yeah.
You know, does he look different?
Because he was a guy, from the get-go, you looked at him, and a lot of people were saying, okay, this is a guy that if he had stayed in college one more year, probably would have could have been a first-round pick.
He would have played left tackle.
He's a guy that's kind of lanky, but he shows a willingness to finish blocks. I think he's got some genuine nastiness to him, not fake bravado nastiness
right.
to him. And he's very athletic. I guess I look at him as I thought that he showed promise as a rookie, but still looked a lot like a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
So I would expect him to get better, even if Bobby Sloak had stayed.
Yeah.
But yeah, for sure. Hopefully, you can hyperdrive some of that growth.
I mean, if you find a right tackle who's a good right tackle who's in his second year on a rookie deal, to put opposite Tunsil's the only name in ink right now on the offensive line. Everybody else is in pencil right now on the offensive line.
Yeah.
All right, people are texting in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, the things that annoy them. People who don't know who Gene Hackman was.
You know what, though?
He's done a movie since 2004.
Since 2004. So there's a lot of guys. There's 20-year-olds out there that probably, you know, they would recognize him if they were reminded of him.
Because
they probably watched The Unforgiven or something at some point.
Yep. Let's see. This goes back to the person saying that you just won the internet, makes their skin crawl. And you said, well, that's Seth that sometimes. The texter says, I tell Seth that all the time. His tweets are my brand of humor, and now I feel like a douche.
Oh,
thanks,
no,
Seth.
I like it.
Thanks,
I like
Seth.
It. No, what? I'm not the one that said it annoyed me. I said I like it.
Just put it out there so you can clarify
for him.
I'm
that guy,
him.
No. Yeah. Somebody else's issue.
Yeah, yeah,
thank
yeah.
you for being one of the people that understands when I'm joking instead of explaining to me why my joke doesn't make sense.
I don't know why, but this is a text. I don't know why, but the phrase build to scale in all these AI commercials bothers the hell out of me.
Any AI commercial for any reason at all bothers me because they do – I feel like people are looking at AI the way I think we looked at computers back in the 1980s, where you just had this – you have this fantasy that, like, oh, I'm going to be able to press a button, and then I don't have to do anything at all. And then when you start to learn how to use it, you're like, oh, okay, this is just a way that I can do work that other people are going to be using too. And if anything, over time, it's probably going to add more work because you're just like an accountant today doesn't look at the computer like, oh – my life's no challenge at all anymore. I've got a computer.
Right.
Like now you're competing against other accountants that are using the same
They're
tools
using
you
a
are.
Computer, yeah. I'm annoyed when I'm the wrong caller for tickets to the rodeo. Well, that's not something that perpetually annoys you on a daily basis.
That's not a phrase or something that annoys
Here's
you.
Here's a good one, and this could be Lopez texting the show. It annoys me when people say tempo when they mean up-tempo in regards to football.
Yeah.
Especially Chris Fowler. He speaks poorly. Wow. That's a drive-by on Chris Fowler right there. I think that's a Lopez pet peeve.
They say
he's using tempo.
They play with tempo.
Yeah.
Okay, well, tempo can be slow tempo. It can be up-tempo. What kind of tempo? It's a musically ignorant person is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. That would be me. I probably have said tempo.
I don't know.
Many
I guess
times.
It's so used in football. It almost has become acceptable because, like, it's understood that when you say it in football, like, in that context, it means up-tempo. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Oh, we're getting a clarification on The Replacements, the movie. These are really important topics. Because Gene Hackman, if you missed it, Gene Hackman passed away in very mysterious circumstances. He, his wife, and his dog were found dead early this morning or yesterday. And the news came out this morning, so we've been reminiscing about Gene Hackman movies. The Replacements is maybe the greatest cheesy Gene Hackman movie ever. Keanu Reeves was the quarterback in The Replacements, Footsteps Falco. His character's, thank you to this texter, his character's backstory was that he always choked in big situations when he was at Ohio State, and he went undrafted. He was in it in between the two Matrix movies. Reeves also took a pay cut so the producers could afford Hackman because Reeves really wanted to work with Gene Hackman in this movie.
Yeah, because you had said, and I was kind of curious, you had said like Hackman was in that mode where he would just take money for anything. I was like, I don't think Hackman ever had a lull in his career. Where he was
I said he had a look on his face throughout that movie where he was like, am I getting paid in cash? He was
very
lackluster
performance. Am I getting paid in cash?
Yeah,
okay,
it was a very
it
was his performance was not the greatest.
I read
that
wrong. I thought you meant that he was he was just desperate for a good role.
No.
He was pretty consistently employed in good roles throughout his entire career.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was the actual performance itself that I was commenting on. Reeves garnered some brief interest from some NFL teams because those were him actually throwing the football in the movie. Now, that part I don't believe, that Keanu Reeves got garnered interest from
the whole thing
NFL
was his
teams.
Throwing motion was really weird. It was I can just remember from Point Break. I'm like, come on. Could they not work with him for a little bit to make it look like he's got a credible
I can see
throw?
The Jags being interested in Keanu Reeves based on that movie, like Shad Khan.
You know what that gave me something annoys me about?
Huh.
Remember when we did that video, I think it was during COVID, when it was like the intro to Full House?
Yeah.
And I did one where I reenacted Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite in front of his van throwing the football. And Uncle Rico had this story, you know, would talk about what a great quarterback he was and he never got a shot and everything. But then you watch him throw a football and it was a really weird motion. So I tried to mimic his throwing motion.
I remember.
I got so many people criticizing my throwing.
Oh, really?
That I know, but it was like, this was not worth it at all, man. Like, I tried to roll with it for a little bit, but, and there was nothing I could do about it. It wasn't on my Twitter feed or anything. There was this video out there that was getting a whole lot of traction with me intentionally throwing the ball bad, but people thinking that that's how I throw
that
a football.
That was before you reach full peak awareness of social media, of what the response is. Will and could be
when I'm just joking,
trying to joke around about something.
Had you
been fully aware of that?
I made it so bad that I thought it would be clear that it wasn't, because I do not have a great throwing motion, but I made it like really. I was like, clearly nobody will think this is how I actually throw football.
Apparently, people think there was a reason you were a defensive tackle.
There definitely was. Yeah. Ronaldo Wynn and I used to get together and try to work on our throwing.
Really?
Yeah, we'd have that. I think Derek Carr might have helped us out at one point. That's when I started hating Derek Carr. I was like, a little 13-year-old could whip it.
Oh, my God.
Obviously, Ronaldo Wynn was when I was in Jacksonville.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I was working in Houston, that's when I gave up, when Derek Carr tried to help me out. I was like, all right, this is degrading.
I'm just bad. All right, we're going to give away some rodeo tickets. So, hey, listen, dude who hates losing out on rodeo tickets, be listening in the next segment. And you got a chance to win some trips to see Zach Top on March the 11th at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. Fight between the Nugget Hussies at the Combine.
It's drama.
Yesterday.
We got drama.
It's drama. If we had a battle royale, if we had a bracket of all the insiders, the newsbreakers across sports, who would be the winner? I don't think either of these two guys that we're about to talk about. But I think there's one that I think would be a heavy favorite. We'll talk about that. If you haven't heard this story, this is a wild story from the Combine. We'll get to that coming up next.
All right, everybody. It's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.